Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change, then you can change. Everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, the 11th. Of December. How are you, Mr. Cleland?
How's it? How's it?
Wow. Neil How's Everett. It? Neil Dusty
about
and
us?
Neil Everett in the morning.
How's it? How's it, brah?
Yeah, that's how he starts every
Is he
sports center.
How's it?
Every single sports center, Neil
For some
Everett.
Reason, I did not know that.
What? Really? That's his, like, thing. Neil Everett's thing.
Neil, I know
his
he's good.
Catchphrase. How's
I'm
it?
More of, I'm more of the 90s guys. Missed the 90s, the
Oberman,
yes,
Stu. Oh, Stuart,
DP, DP, Stu,
yeah, Stuart Kenny Scott was
Kenny
the,
Main,
Kenny Main's still around,
yeah, he's still in the mix.
Rich Eisen,
he was at
guys.
The
oh, Rich Eisen, good call,
yeah.
Kenny Main was at the not Stuart Scott, he wasn't at the Seahawks game last night.
RIP.
Kenny Main was at the Seahawks game last night, and he asked Bobby Wagner after the game if he would be willing to do something with his charity somewhere down the line. And Bobby Wagner took the cleats right off his feet and signed
this.
Them, gave them to him, and goes, done. What else can I do?
Did you?
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Did you see? Now, last night, we'll talk about it. Did you see the Jordan cleats in, what do we call? What was the color again that they said last night? That is a
lizard vomit.
Lizard vomit? That's the anti-Seahawks color?
I think that's
color.
The official name on the color spectrum, but they called it something else.
But there is something...
Electric?
No, it wasn't electric. It was something green. I'm going to go with something
it
green.
It was green.
No, I saw it, and it slipped my mind because I already forgot about it. But I, again, thought those were very brilliant uniforms because I could see them all over the place.
You weren't going to miss them. That's
We call it
sure.
highlighter green?
Action green.
Action green. Yeah. There
so
it is.
It's interesting. I'm reading now that they have college navy. Why would it be college navy? Action green and wolf gray.
Ooh, wolf gray is great. Got wolf gray Marshawn Lynch jersey.
I'm glad that they got rid of the all wolf gray uniform look because they used to wear that.
On the road, it looks good.
No, they changed it to white.
I know they did.
But the all wolf gray looked like it was just like they threw their white uniforms in with their blue uniforms and it came out kind of dingy. You know,
yeah.
It looks like
gray,
dingy gray.
Wolves are dingy.
Yeah, it did. It was not a great look.
Are.
Yes, they are.
Wolves are like one of my favorite animals.
Are
they? They are top five.
Are they?
Oh gosh, they are.
Why?
I just love.
Explain
they're
to me.
Because they're a pack. They're pack animals.
Yeah.
They only thrive as a group. They're not individuals.
So are raccoons.
Yeah, raccoons. They're nocturnal. I never see them. All they do is dig holes in my yard in the middle of the night. I caught them on the cameras. They come out and they just come
they
out.
Dig holes?
Yeah, they dig little holes and they're searching for grubs or I don't know what they're doing. They're searching for worms or whatever they're doing. But
you need more garbage then.
No, I know. I put caps on my garbage so they can't get in there.
Well, that's why you have lawn problems.
Stuff like that. But no, wolves are, I love just the pack mentality. It's a great analogy of football because it's a great pack. So that's I think, and wolves are incredible because you think you can outrun a wolf. You can't. Because they will chase you down for miles and miles and miles and fatigue you to the point where you have no strength left. And all they do is catch you and devour you.
So my high school mascot was the Wolves. So we got all kinds of Wolves platitudes and things thrown at us. One of the deals was the strength of the wolf is the pack and the strength of the pack is the wolf.
Oh! I just love it.
Do you know how wolves?
A timber wolf, just a giant wolf.
Do you know how wolves actually travel in their packs?
No, how?
They put the weakest in front.
Oh, yeah, in case so that they can push forward, yep.
And then you go with the women and children after that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the beta males. And then the alpha is actually in the back.
Yep.
So he can keep an eye on how everybody is doing.
True leadership.
That's pretty cool.
It is. That's why they're amazing animals.
Got any other animals you like?
How do you think they decide who's the weakest? They talk about it?
I think
Of course they talk about it. Have you heard them talk?
Oh, yeah. I hear them talking. I hear coyotes howling across Newburgh all night.
Acres upon acres. You could just talk to each other.
I think everybody just like, you know, when you're at a place and...
It's like a pickup basketball game. Everyone looks around. That guy's the bad one.
That guy's a little too drunk and you're like, oh, and everybody kind of takes a step back.
Yeah, we're going to put Earl up front.
Kind of how everybody, like nobody actually acknowledges that Earl is the drunkest guy, but you're all like,
everyone just kind
of
knows it.
We're going to let Earl kind of go ahead and do his thing in front of everybody else. I think that's how the Wolves do it. Like, it's just that instinct you have where it's like, yeah, that's not.
So does the weak one know they're the weak one?
Of course they do. Oh, yeah, you're on the tail end. You start at the back.
They know.
And you work your way to the front.
Yeah. It's like, you know, well, it's old people. You know, old people know.
Of course. You're not going to walk in front of an old person. You're going to stay behind in case they fall and they got to hit their electric button. Says I fall and I can't get up.
And here's how the pack works, too. If you want, if that old guy wants to sit up there and be like, no, I'm not old. The alpha goes, all right, let me teach you a thing or two.
Right.
And rough talk him a little bit, rough him up, and then he goes, all right, yeah, maybe I am old and weak.
Buck,
and
you ever...
say, get to the front.
You ever seen the movie Never Cry Wolf?
Yeah, I saw that when I was much, much younger. I was like...
But you don't remember much of it?
I don't remember much of it.
It's a must-watch. Fantastic movie.
Have you ever heard the Duran Duran song Hungry Like a Wolf?
Mm. Yeah, I also remember Andy Dick dancing to it in Old School.
Yeah, that was... That was the whole thing.
Can't Karen see that, can we?
And then he just drills Will Ferrell with the frying pan.
Yeah. That carrot scene.
You just took a bad turn.
Who's
hungry? Go there.
Who's
Way
hungry?
To go. There. Way to go.
I don't like Andy Dick. I think he's an idiot.
You do?
Yeah.
Not a big fan of his comedy either. No. Don't know why he's famous. You know there's people where you're like, why?
Yeah, no, I know. There's plenty of people famous that aren't famous for what?
A lot of people will go this direction and be like, oh, Rob Schneider's only famous because he's Adam Sandler's friend. No, Rob Schneider's actually done some funny things.
Yeah, Male Gigolo was great. Deuce Bigelow.
His stand-up is actually pretty good, too.
And he was really good for years on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Making copies. One of the best skits ever.
Necessary Roughness, anybody? Fumbleina, Fumbleia, Fumblerooski.
Everybody's got a stick. You got to make your stick. Sometimes you have something. Dana Carvey. Yeah. Would you consider Dana Carvey like bat? No, he's incredible.
Dana Carvey is good, but Andy Dick is a person that I go, how?
Mm. It's kind of like Amy Schumer with me. I don't like it.
See, Amy, I think Amy Schumer like has funny jokes, but
she steals
apparently
them.
They're all stolen, so I don't know about Amy Schumer anymore. I'm kind of up in the air on her.
Look, they're talented people.
Yeah.
They're actors. They're comedians. Mm-hmm. I give them credit for what they are, but just not a fan.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right.
Okay.
Probably interesting people to have a beer with, I wouldn't know. Probably.
Yeah, if Andy Dick was a wolf, he'd be in the front of the pack.
He would be. We'd want to eat him first. Here, have Andy. Here, Andy.
Yeah. You know, he would be at the front of the pack.
We're hungry. It's cold.
Well, just kind of let him go.
We'll have Andy.
You know, Dave Chappelle would be at the back going, move to the forward.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. That man is funny.
Dave Chappelle is a hyena. If we're going to go animal choice.
Why is he a hyena?
I don't know. I think he's just a little bit funnier because he's always laughing.
No, he's the alpha.
Another great pack animals, hyenas.
Yeah. All right. What about lions?
Lions, even better. Lions. I'm a big fan of pack animals.
Okay.
But you notice.
But not raccoons.
But wait. Lions aren't as good because the men don't hunt as packs. The women go out and get all the food.
Well.
Because the women are the ones that are the toughest. You know, the guy just sits back with a big mane and just hangs out and waits for everybody.
Pigs.
Yeah, they aren't they? You've seen the new Lion King remake, haven't you? Take your daughter to that?
This is going
to
be... No, I have not
you have
seen
not
it.
Seen
is
that?
It out yet?
It's been out. What are you talking about?
The new Lion King.
It's been out.
I don't think so. I think it comes out
the
like...
trailers.
Oh, the trailer's,
the trailer's out.
I think that comes out like next summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think on Thanksgiving we saw the first trailer for it.
Yeah.
Already a year, almost 8 months ahead of time?
Oh, got to start that hype train early, man.
Welcome to Hollywood, dude.
Yeah. Cats not as much as pack animals. Cats not
okay. So you're
women are
you're a dog pack guy. Hyenas.
What are hyenas? Are they
dogs.
In the dog family?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're prairie dogs.
They are.
Dog family. Yeah, yeah. I'm in the pack.
You're
like
dog. You're dog pack,
about the pack
guy. Not a cat pack man.
No such thing. Cats
are
individuals. Just the girls.
Well, lions are from the cat family.
I know they're from the cat family, but the dudes aren't doing it. They're the girls are.
Do
girls
tigers,
are doing all the work.
Do tigers
or cats?
Do
no, they're very
packs?
Solitary.
Yeah, right. Well, that's weird. Okay, on to other things. Sports today. Seahawks in their Wolf Gray, even though they were in Action Green last night, they played very well. We'll discuss the Seattle Seahawks and their defense coming around and the sectitude of Kirk Cousins. Is it worth paying your quarterback in the new NFL landscape? That is our textual relations, 55305. You may be thinking to yourself, of course, until we break it down. We'll give a few numbers to you. The Raiders finally put Reggie McKenzie out of his misery. The Oregon Ducks are the beneficiary of a new rule. We'll tell you that on today's show. Why Las Vegas was the best investment possible for a nun, and a mutiny in the NBA. Got a lot of good sports to get to today. I mean, this is sporty action right up your alley.
You're going to go action-packed Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it is.
Good, good. Better hang out. We got a lot of stories to tell.
Yes, and who knows? You may have more hot pack animal talk. I don't know.
I have hot talk. Elon Musk hates the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, which I read that and I went, wow.
I'm happy for you, Elon. Happy. So stay West Coast, baby. Seeing
that headline pop up, I assumed it was like the Securities Exchanges Commission.
No.
He hates Nick Saban.
Hold on. Don't let facts get in the way
of a good story.
Of a good story, yeah, no, Buck. Who cares if it's not Nick Saban and Greg Sankey in the actual SEC that we know?
Mm-hmm.
He said he doesn't respect him.
Doesn't respect.
Fair enough.
Pac-12 should have been in the playoff.
As it is on the surface.
Right? Perfect. He's a West Coaster.
That's right. He lives in L.A. building the Hyperloop.
Yeah. Those are tunnels.
Yeah. I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this day in sports history, the year was 2000, and Alex Rodriguez signed the richest contract in sports history. A 10-year, $252 million deal with the Texas Rangers.
Mm. That's a lot of money back then.
It's still a lot of money now.
Still a lot of money now.
Yeah.
I think that's the most transcendent contract we've ever seen in sports.
Mr. Cleland, do you know what the richest contract prior to that was? To A-Rod's deal?
I don't.
It was Kevin Garnett's $126 million deal with the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
$252 is exactly double what Kevin Garnett had. That's how groundbreaking that this deal was. Imagine. So what's the richest deal that we have now in sports? Is it Giancarlo Stanton's $325 million?
Well, it will be Bryce Harper when that's done. But
right, but
I think it is
Giancarlo. Yeah.
But imagine if Bryce Harper's new deal is just saying, all right, Stanton's $325, I'm a $650. That is what Alex Rodriguez did and just said double whatever it is.
How long before we see a $1 billion contract? How long? 10 years?
For a sports contract?
Yeah, for a sports contract. Man. In the next decade?
In the next decade.
Soccer, I think so too. It could probably be soccer or baseball. It's going to be soccer or baseball. It won't be basketball or football.
The Timbers are going to pay Diego Valeri $1 billion.
Billion.
Playing the MLS.
I bet we see it in our lifetime.
Oh, yeah, we will. I mean, we already have a $1 billion shoe deal with LeBron.
Sure, that's a lifetime, though. But I'm talking like a 10-year, $1 billion contract. $100 million per year. We're not far off. Aaron Rodgers makes 32. I mean, think about it. It was 1988. And that was when Steve Largent was getting $1 million. And we were thinking like, wow, guys are getting $1 million. You're looking back at the numbers and Bo Jackson making money. And now you're going $32 million. That was a whole team's amount of payroll.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to find the best soccer player in the world under the age of 18, and it'll be that guy.
So when he's 28, 10 years from now,
yeah,
he's going to get $100 million a year.
Yeah. Does that sound about right?
For Barcelona.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go find that guy.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know who he is, and we'll just hitch our wagon to him and just start being a fan of him now. All right, 55305, the better you today, text sign. Seahawks, stay hot in the defense. Flexes their muscles on the Minnesota Vikings. 6:16 on the fan.
Dan Bailey with a 47-yard field goal attempt off the left hash mark. Out of the hold of Wiley, the punter. 12s. It's blocked! It's blocked! Bobby Wagner gets through and blocks it!
You heard it right here on the fan. Steve Rabel on the call. Bobby Wagner darts through the guard and center. Blocks the potential field goal to make it a one-score game with, what, 5 minutes to go? And seals the win, essentially, for the Seattle Seahawks. But some controversy off that play.
Yeah.
No flag was thrown on Bobby Wagner.
No, the flag was thrown.
Okay. The flag was thrown, then picked up on Bobby Wagner for pushing off of two of his teammates. Mm-hmm. And it should have been a 15-yard penalty that would have put the ball on the 14-yard line for the Minnesota Vikings. And who knows what would have happened if they have first and 10 from the 14.
Well, it's unfortunate because this is all everybody's going to really talk about is the fact that, that call was the call that changed the game. And it could have been. But the thing about football now is we get critical points in the season in December is that every play is so massive. I mean, when you're fighting for spots for the playoffs, so you could sit there and say, all right, there's been 150 plays in this game. I mean, one field goal attempt, did that change? Well, when you're in a game like that, where it would have been first, what they would have been on the 14-yard line, first and 10, and you're only down by six. Yeah, that's a critical play. But there's so many other plays where you got a chance. And Minnesota last night had plenty of chances, and they just floundered them all over the place by losing it on their goal line, not making a terrible read by Kirk Cousins. I mean, a couple bad plays, and their defense played well to win. Their defense played very well. Just their offense was anemic.
Well, both of the defenses played well. I mean, if you look at what it was at halftime, you know, neither one of those quarterbacks had anything. Russell Wilson won a football game throwing for 72 yards, zero touchdowns, and an interception. He had a quarterback rating of 37 in that game. And this has kind of been Minnesota's MO this year. They held Drew Brees to 120 yards, lost to the Saints.
Yeah.
They held Russell Wilson to 72 yards, lose a game. Between Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, they combined for 192 yards, mm-hmm. and they lost both of those football games, which is incredible to think about. And that's just kind of where it goes down to. I would have had no faith in Minnesota to score a touchdown with first down and 10 from the 14-yard line because of what you said. On the goal line, they had four plays inside the five, mm-hmm. and they could not score earlier, just the previous drive.
And they were also, it was also somewhere in the red zone, too, that they went for it on fourth down, got stuffed again later after the field goal. And so you're looking at a team that, on offense, they're reeling. I don't know what their identity is. They got a great running back with Dalvin Cook. They have Thielen. They have Diggs. They have their offensive line. You know who made a great point last night? One of the Hasselbeck brothers. It was Tim Hasselbeck later on with
SVP.
Yeah, SVP. And he was discussing everybody's going to blame Kirk Cousins, which you can, but he was pointing out throughout the game, and I watched it too, is that the offensive line played terrible for Minnesota. It really did. They didn't give him time. They had chances where it was a four-man stunt, and they had a rotation. You could see, I mean, you could see Frank Clark coming around the inside, just getting bull rushed, just knocking guys back. There was an accelerator that the defensive line played with, and the offensive line, I mean, Kirk Cousins is not going to make great throws if you're retreating, falling backwards. He doesn't have the kind of Patrick Mahomes ball skill, arm talent. He's got to be standing in the pocket, moving forward. So there's just as much as fault on the offensive line as it is for Kirk Cousins.
Okay, got a question on that, though. How much of that is Kirk Cousins? How much is on Kirk Cousins, though, to identify pre-snap? Because if you're watching that game, I was noticing, because they kept pointing out like how easy it was, Witten and Booger were, how easy it was that Seattle was getting pressure. But pre-snap, so he started watching. Pre-snap, he wasn't doing anything. Like, I know line makes their line calls, right?
Yeah.
But every other quarterback in the NFL, we see them communicating with the offensive line. Kirk Cousins doesn't do any of that.
No, and we could say it's easy to start there and point fingers and say it's on Kirk Cousins, but this has got to be
the
with
whole
Mike.
Deal.
Well, it's got to be with Mike Zimmer. And it also, too, is that you could hear Booger McFarland last night really mentioning how John DeFilippo came from a system with Andy Reid and wants to be able to move the ball in the air, wants to have the kind of shifts and motions too. And you could see the vanilla lineup also, if Hasselbeck mentioned with SVP, is that there's no movements, there's no shifts and motions. They're very stagnant. When you line up on offense, that's exactly what Mike Zimmer wants to do. He's been doing that for years now with Minnesota. I think it's his fifth offensive coordinator that he's had.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're going to go through, well, he's had Giants head coach, he's had Norv Turner, John DeFilippo. There's one more I'm missing. I'm saying it might be four. So no continuity on offense. Every offensive system is different, different language, different verbiage. And so you're seeing Kirk Cousins, and maybe Mike Zimmer's in his ear, or whoever's in his ear, saying, stick with the play call.
Yeah.
They don't give him the kind of flexibility to make a change and say, stay with it. We want to be vanilla. We want to play great defense. Well, that's what Pete Carroll wants to do. I mean, we could sit here and criticize quarterbacks all day because Russell Wilson didn't play great, but he made a couple big plays, one with his feet for 40 yards and then a couple good throws.
But here isn't this the problem, though, with what Minnesota and Mike Zimmer have, and you say it's on Zimmer, is that, okay, they want to run the ball, but when run game isn't working, like, he's kind of neutering the ability to for that team to open it up a little bit more.
They
know?
Have receiver talent. They lap the Seahawks receiver talent.
Right?
I mean, when I mean lap it, I mean, it's not even in the realm.
Thielen, Diggs, Rudolph. You've got three right there that are
incredible
better.
Incredible talent.
That are
if
better
Russell
than anybody.
Russell Wilson had that talent, this team would have 14 wins.
And that's Seahawks. Not even talking about Laquon Treadwell, Dalvin Cook out of the backfield as well. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. And so both you and I agree, even if they do get that first down off of the Bobby Wagner play, there's no guarantees that Minnesota scores.
Seahawks already stuffed him inside the red zone twice.
But for Seahawks fans, and it's already coming in, it was clean hands, touch teammates, but he didn't use them to push himself off. It's a judgment call by the ref, and he made the right call. And then another one, it's a judgment call. He did not, and they didn't call it, so it's not a penalty. It actually is not a judgment call anymore. Like, that is wrong. Mike Pereira actually tweeted out the exact verbiage of what the new rule is. And this is a new rule for this year. And it states you may not place a hand or hands on a teammate or an opponent in an attempt to jump through a gap to block an opponent's kick or a parent kick. That's it.
You know, look,
it should have been a flag.
I'm going to agree with this statement. It's a judgment call.
It is not.
Hold on. You calling it, it's not. Let me just explain my thought process. Every penalty in the NFL, other than blatantly jumping off sides, is a judgment call.
Okay.
Because a judgment means somebody standing with a flag chooses to grab in his pant pocket, grab it out, and say, I saw something based upon what my eyes have seen. That's called a judgment, correct? That's what a judge does, based on their interpretation of what they're seeing. There's no such thing as a slam dunk call in anything in the NFL. Holding is judgment, okay? Offsides is not. Pass interference is a judgment call, okay? Roughing the passer is a judgment call. Anything that's unsportsmanlike conduct are judgment calls. These are things that I'm not defending it, but if one official sees the thing, throws the flag, and the other guy talks him out of it, his judgment was bigger than his judgment.
Right.
So the interpretation is here we are with the NFL and rules and officials from the crap that was called on Philly on that pass interference, offensive pass interference on, I forgot, Philly's tight end. One of the worst calls I've
Dallas
ever seen.
Goddard.
This call was, again, just somebody talked him out of it.
But this is black and white. They threw the
flag.
No
such thing as black and white.
It says you may not place a hand or hands on a teammate or opponent.
There's
he
also,
clearly did that, no, and they threw the flag on it.
I'm
like,
not,
that is
I'm
what
not
happened.
Arguing that. What I'm saying is that official's job is the human error, is that their eyes see something, and in their judgment during that time, he didn't use it enough. In that point of view. Black and white, there's no such thing as a black and white call in the NFL.
But that,
there's none.
You said use it enough. Using at all is what the rule says.
And also, too.
And that's it.
We'll say it over and over again. Slow motion drives fans bonkers. Because you see something in full speed, but then you put it in slow motion, you're like, oh, look at that, slow motion. Nobody watches football in slow motion. But it makes you go, I mean, if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you're just infuriated this morning.
Yeah, but with
you know
all
what?
Of that
Play better
said,
football.
With all, they interpreted their rule incorrectly. They still probably wouldn't have scored because they had two other opportunities to do it. They didn't run a play on the Seahawks side of the 50-yard line until under 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, that was their first time they crossed the 50-yard line. Like, Seattle's defense was lights out last night from start to finish. And because that play wasn't, that flag wasn't, I guess the penalty wasn't called, that does not change the outcome of that game in my mind.
And again,
does not change.
If you
it.
Don't like the way it sounds, if you don't like the what it looked like, and you think things are black and white, I got my opinion. You have yours. Okay, from experience to none, you look at something with your eyes is different than what someone sees in their eyes. Okay, there's no such thing. So take that for what it's worth and watch the football game. But there's a lot of plays in a football game, a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna take one play and say that changed the outcome or that was the entire game, I'm just going to disagree. That's why you play an entire four quarters.
Okay, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. From that play on to the quarterback play of that game, we mentioned Russell Wilson throws for 72 yards. Kirk Cousins had his struggles last night, and he is the $81 million man. Is it worth paying your quarterback in the new landscape of the NFL? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Last night we saw two quarterbacks that make a lot of money going head-to-head, and they didn't put up a lot of stats. Great defense being played in the Vikings-Seahawks Monday night game. That should be noted. But Russell Wilson went 10 for 20 for 72 yards, if you include the sack yards, which is dumb. He threw for 60 yards total because he was sacked twice for 12 yards. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins went 20 of 33 for 208 yards and a touchdown. Both of those guys make over $20 million per year, over $23 million per year. And Kirk Cousins is the $81 million man, bucking the trend and becoming the fully guaranteed quarterback, his entire salary. If we look at, though, in the landscape of the NFL, and if you look at the NFL standings, the best teams in the NFL right now aren't necessarily the ones that are paying their quarterbacks exorbitant amounts of money this season. Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff in LA, Mitch Trubisky in Chicago are not quarterbacks that are breaking the bank. Or Dak Prescott in Dallas, too. Breaking the bank and taking a bunch of salary from the rest of their roster. Deshaun Watson in Houston. Tom Brady, we all know it's been well chronicled, not a top 10 paid quarterback in the right. NFL this year. Is it worth it to pay your quarterback in this landscape of the National Football League?
So as we sit right now, I'm going to give you the top as the numbers of total dollars and then their average of what's going on right now with quarterbacks being paid. So right now, Matt Ryan leads at age 33, $150 million, 5 years, $30 million average. Next comes Jimmy Garoppolo. Let me start with this. Matt Ryan, not in the playoffs. Jimmy Garoppolo, 5 years, $137 million, 27 and a half, not in the playoffs. Next, Matthew Stafford, 5 years, 30 years old, $135 million, 20, not in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers, okay, 4 years, sitting $134 million, $33.5 million. Probably not going to make the playoffs. Or maybe, that's a maybe. Next, Derek Carr, $125 million, 20, not in the playoffs. Andrew Luck, $122, 24 and a half, on the bubble. Cam Newton, $103, 20. Andy Dalton, $96, 16. Alex Smith, $94, 23 million. Oh, and then you get to Russell Wilson, finally, at $87 million, 4 years, $21.9 million after that. You can keep going down the line and seeing teams that are making the playoffs and how does it correlate with who you pay and what you pay your quarterback. Is that where you should invest your money? Of course, I'm looking at this going, today's world, when someone pays you money, you're worth what someone's willing to pay you. Matt Ryan is not standing and holding the Atlanta Falcons hostage. He's not. He's not standing out front with a sign saying, I'm not coming in unless you pay me my money. They gave him these contracts. These guys are giving. Aaron Rodgers was given this contract. Why? Because he and his agent said, I'm not going to be the lowest paid guy in my division. Not going to happen. And the Green Bay Packers obliged him. And so he got his coach fired. So I just read you those top five, top 10, and none of them are all guaranteed to make the playoffs right now as we sit.
No, if you take it one step further too, which you can, if you take just this year in the yearly salaries, Jimmy G, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Joe Flacco, Andrew Luck, combined record 22-39. Mm-hmm. 22-39. I mean, that's incredible. If you look at it, Andrew Luck has a 7-6 record this year, mm-hmm. and he's the only one in line to make the playoffs because Joe Flacco, his team is 7-6 right now. With him as the starting quarterback, they were 4-5 and had a losing record. They handed over to Lamar Jackson, and they get that spark. Now, that is more to talent of the quarterback and not to his salary hampering this team. But you make a great point that it's not that these guys shouldn't have signed their contracts.
No.
Because they were given those deals.
Yes.
The question is, in this state of the NFL, is it worth it to pay your quarterback that kind of money? Because the young bucks, you can afford to build a great team, a great offensive line, and a full complement of 11 players on the defensive side of the football.
And you look at some of the stars that are playing. Patrick Mahomes making $4.1 million on an average this year. Jared Goff making $6.9 million. Sam Darnold making $7.5 million. Baker Mayfield making $8.1 million. It just goes to show you when you look at that, okay, numbers matter when it comes to cap space and how you want to build your organization. Should you take more? Now, Tom Brady's always going to be the guy that bucks the trend. He's going to be the one that everybody uses. You know that guy, the exceptions don't prove rules. So that's why I say Tom Brady's an exception. It doesn't prove the rule that everybody needs to take less to bring in more players. The Patriots just don't pay guys. They're not, other than Tom, even in Tom Brady. Now, not all of us are fortunate enough to have a $400 million wife that can take a pay cut. Right, that's kind of a little bit different if you want to win Super Bowls and win championships. But the Patriots don't pay anybody. When you get really good, they get rid of you. That's kind of how they've always done that. From when I was there with Lawyer Malloy, and they just stopped. They did that from there. Deion Branch, they didn't pay guys. They just said, we're out of here. Nate Solder, they're like, see ya. Gone. Go make your money with the Giants and don't make the playoffs. They do that. And so this is one of those situations where stop using the Patriots as the example. It's not realistic.
But there are other quarterbacks that are in that situation where will they be needing to take pay cuts for their team to be successful? And there is one shining example of a quarterback in a franchise where as his pay has fallen out of the top salaries, their team has gotten exponentially better. We'll talk about that and your feedback next. Dustin Cam on The Fan. All right, 55305, better you today, text on. I'm talking about these young quarterbacks that are running the NFL right now. If you look at the standings just across the NFL, you have Houston, rookie deal at their quarterback, Kansas City, Dallas, Chicago, Los Angeles, all quarterbacks that are making under what the market value is for the starting quarterback position. And there's one team that is kind of like a beacon of this, that they have taken a huge uptick as their quarterback has fallen out of the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the league on average salary. Los Angeles Chargers. Phillip Rivers makes the same amount of money as Tom Brady. His cap hit is $22 million this year. He and Brady are 11th in the NFL in quarterback salaries. And if you look at, now, $22 million is a lot of money, and that sounds like the number that used to be too much, but when you look at percentage of salary caps, that is actually a pretty good deal for a quarterback in the NFL. It's 11th in the league, and he used to be a top five guy, and now as he dips down, make no mistake, the Chargers being where they're at 10-3, you can build and spend money around a guy like Phillip Rivers, and then you hit on guys like Joey Bosa in the draft, Melvin Gordon in the draft, and you have the ability to pay some of your other ancillary players.
Well, it's also draft and identity. We know what San Diego is. I'm sorry, gosh dang it. You know what LA is, because with the Chargers, they're going to play tough defense, and they're going to have a good pass rush, and they're going to be physical, and Phillip Rivers is just, he's that country guy that is just strong and a great demonstrative leader. He's not passive. You can just see it. He controls that entire offense. And they've kind of always been that way under Phillip Rivers. They just always have. So the identity is easy. You watch what the Seahawks did last night. They have that defensive mentality. We're going to run the football. I don't know what Minnesota was last night. I know their defense is really good, and it's been good for the past 3 years because Mike Zimmer's a defensive coordinator. Remember when he was Dallas's defensive coordinator? He worked for Dallas in the 90s when they were elite on defense. What was that on offense? These are some of the things that you have to evaluate at your quarterback position. And I'm going to tell you right now, with the rule changes and how you invest in your quarterback, you're going to have to. You're going to have to pay. Do you have to pay Aaron Rodgers, you know, MVP kind of money to guys like Teddy Bridgewater or Ryan Tannehill and play that kind of money? Well, if there's a starter, you don't have to pay him 30, but you're going to have to pay him over 20. That's kind of how the market states. But I'm telling you right now, with the way the rules have changed and how football is starting to evolve into a don't touch me sport, you better start investing in wide receivers. You better start investing in guys that can take the top off defense, that can extend plays and be elite. Look what happened to Dallas. Okay, one man's trash, Oakland, is another man's treasure. And that's what they were able to find. Yeah. Finding somebody that can make big plays and having that kind of playmaker on the outside is why you invest in wide receivers now. They are, you know, Colin will always use something that says icing on the cake. Man, I'm telling you right now, wide receivers are so important in this league because it's a catch-the-ball league.
Mm-hmm. It is now. But it is. Best teams run and play defense, though, too. I mean, look at Seattle right now.
Yeah, you know? If you ever think of it this way, defense, everyone's here, the theory of defense wins championships, and it does. Because if you can stop enough teams, eventually you're going to get to the point where you can win a game because you're stopping them. But if you play great defense, like what Minnesota did last night, their defense played good enough to win that football game. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay. You still can have five plays in a game on your offense that you need playmakers. All you got to do is make one big play. They couldn't make one big play on offense. Now, that's why you need wide receivers and offense. Offense, points. This league's about points.
But this goes kind of against what you're saying is that Minnesota's got some of the best weapons in the entire National Football League. Their quarterback couldn't make a dang play because the offensive line had three green jerseys in his lap. But Kirk Cousins wasn't good either. I mean,
he's not.
He shouldn't shoulder all of the blame. But they have Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Laquon Treadwell, and Kyle Rudolph.
Also, it's a disturbing stat if you're going to pay the kind of money to a guy that's going to change your franchise. Kirk Cousins is 4-24 lifetime versus teams with a 500 record or better. Yep. That's really, really
bad. That's staggering.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's awful.
And why is that? He's playing better teams. I raise my hands up and go, what is it that Kirk Cousins doesn't do?
Well, the NFC East
he's
sucked.
Not elevating.
Is he like Matt Stafford with a slightly better reputation for some reason?
Matt Stafford, again, is a guy that pads his stats in the fourth quarter because they're always down. No, he didn't. We got to win football games. I don't care if it's 21-0 or 6-0 or whatever. You got to find a way to win a game.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to see. And this is the question that you have, though, with teams. And I think that you have to pay these quarterbacks, right? You have to do it because it's the most important position on the most important team. When you have somebody good, you've got to load up and you got to back up the Brinks truck. But what I think that we're seeing teams in front offices have wised up to the fact that if you have a young star, your Super Bowl window is before you pay him. In teams, the smart franchises are doing a great job of building defenses and doing at all costs, see Chicago, at all costs, building your roster to in sending a first round pick to Oakland to make sure you get Khalil Mack. You build that roster to help support that young quarterback before you have to pay him, and you won't be able to pay anybody else. Dallas did the same thing by going and getting Amari Cooper.
And all these identities happen late in the season because as you get later in the year, a couple things happen in football, especially in the NFL. All the teams that were really, really good at throwing the football earlier in the year and creating all that speed, you've put it on film. And once it's on film, defenses can adjust to you late in the season. That's why you see what Chicago was able to do to the Rams. Yes, it was cold. Okay, it didn't change. The ball was still thrown. Guys were dropping balls all over the place. Once you put it on film, what translates the most? What carries in the NFL? Offensive line play, running the football. That never changes. You could say, we know their scheme. Doesn't matter when your offensive line can bully the defensive line and run the football. That will carry you through December and into the playoffs. Passing the football, it looks good on paper too. That's why the Rams are so talented with Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is everything. If you can't run with Gurley first, the rest of the offense is dead. That's why it works so well. And that's why the Saints with Kamara and Ingram work so well when they are the most balanced team in the NFL with pass and run.
And right there, everything that you just said, to bring it back locally, that is exactly why Oregon was doing what they were doing this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the frustrations with Oregon's offense is that they couldn't do that.
Couldn't adjust.
But that's why they are doing it, right? That's what they want to become and what they want to establish. 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. We'll get to some of your feedback and continue this discussion next. Plus, we got Hot and Cool, the biggest, brightest sports stories of the day on The Fan.